Hi everyone, this is Barbara Teckel from joyfulpause.com. And today I have a very special treat for you. I am doing an interview with my very special friend and someone who that I turn to when I want to understand the messages my dogs are trying to share with me, as she is also a very gifted animal communicator. Dawn Bauman Brunke is also the author of many books on animal teachings, such as Animal Voices, Animal Guides, and Shape Shifting. So I asked her here today to talk about her newest book called Dreaming with Polar Bears, Spirit Journeys with Animal Guides. And I just want to read a short paragraph from the back of the book, which says, "Dreams speak to us on deep levels. Through dreaming, we open a gateway to our inner world. Through lucid dreaming, we open to conscious interaction with the surroundings, happenings, and living beings within the dreamscape." Now, I recently had the opportunity to read Dawn's new book, and I just have to say that I couldn't turn the pages fast enough, and I was really in complete and utter fascination in the many different conversations that Dawn had with what she calls the Bear Council that she had while dreaming. And I do have to admit that I've always seen bears as cuddly and cute, but I'm happy to now say that I see them through new eyes, and I see them as these beautiful creatures who have so much wisdom to share with us and to help us open our hearts. And I'm a big believer, as many of you who follow me at joyfulpause.com, that animals have lots of wisdom to share with us, and I believe if we open to their teachings, animals are really here to help us heal ourselves and this planet. So without further ado, welcome, Dawn.
Well, thanks, Barb. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks. So I'm really excited to talk to you today, Dawn, as I always am. I love talking to you because you're just so fascinating in the books that you write. And I love this type of conversation. So I just want to dive right in because I have a lot of questions to ask today, and so I'm just going to get started with my first question, and if that's all right with you.
That's great. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. So first, I would like you to share with my listeners how you became so intrigued with understanding how animals can actually be our guides and our teachers here on Earth.
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is kind of, it spanned a long period of time. I first got involved with animal communication basically as a journalist. I was long a time ago an editor of a health and wellness magazine, and we published an article by a woman who talked with animals, and I interviewed her, and it sort of was a snowballing thing where I had ended up interviewing other people and was just fascinated with this idea that there were people who could talk with animals. I never really consciously thought, oh, I'm going to do that. It was just something that unfolded, and I think it unfolded through the process of talking with people and thinking about it. And I guess my short answer to your question, it was a gradual deepening. Once I opened to the idea that animals could communicate with us, I deepened in relationship with animals, specifically at first my dogs, but then animals in general, the moose in Alaska, the ravens, birds, whales, dolphins, different animals. And I gradually opened to the idea that all of these, or not the idea, but the teaching that all of these different animal species had different medicines, as the Native Americans say, or different teachings to bring to the planet, as well as humans. So it really was a gradual deepening in relationship with animals that brought this about for me.
Wow, I love that. That's what I love about you, Dawn. It's so organic how it all unfolded for you, and I love how you said that it's a gradual deepening for you. And you know, you and I have talked before, and that's really how I feel. You know, for my life and with my animals, I've learned so many amazing lessons from especially my dogs, but now I find myself wanting to open more to what the other animals have to teach us, and that's why I was so fascinated with your new book and why I wanted to interview you today. So That's it. It's, I love that when it's such a beautiful organic process like that. That just says, you know, you're on the right path in life too, doesn't it?
It does, and I think that's something we can all share and open to. You know, our society tends to, you know, kind of focus on things that'll make you better. You buy this product and this will happen, da da da. But really, it's just about letting go. I think, and what I've learned from animals, really accepting ourselves for who we are and where we are, and being okay with that. And I think once we do let go of all that, all those diversions and all that peripheral stuff, we begin to sink down really naturally into who we are, genuinely, authentically. And I think that's when relationships happen, you know, deeper relationships. That's when we connect not only with ourselves and with other humans, but with animals, nature, and our planet. So, yeah, I do think, you know, gradual deepenings are a really good thing for sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. So I want to talk about your newest book, Dreaming with Polar Bears. And I have to first say that I love the cover of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I got to see it for the first time and got a sneak peek from you. And it's mm-hmm. just that polar bear just calls to my heart and wanting to know more about what, you know, the polar bear's message is for us. So, mm-hmm. but what I gathered from your book as I was reading it, which, as I said, I just kept wanting to turn the page faster and faster to find out how this all unfolded. But the story, from what I understood reading it, that this was a long time in the making, this book was, and that you mm-hmm. finally decided you were going to write the book. And I'm just wondering if you can share, you know, how long of a process that was and what made you finally decide to write this book, because, quite honestly, I've never read anything quite like this before, and I know some people might be skeptical. So I just mm-hmm. wonder if there, you know, there might have been some fear in sharing the story, or, you know, that your whole process, if you could just share some of that.
Yeah, no, well, it's a big question, because the answer is kind of spread out over time. And it did take me a while to write this book. It probably started, I would say, about 8 to 10 years ago. And, you know, when you read the book, you see how between chapters, there's sometimes, you know, a year or more of unfolding. And this did happen very organically for me, a dream that I just kind of opened up to. And then it was referenced in another dream where I got this invitation from a dream professor. And the invitation said, Dreaming with Polar Bears. And that was like this little mystery from my subconscious of what does that mean to dream with polar bears. But I very much understood it was an invitation, an opening. And I did accept that, and that's when a number of dreams started with polar bears, and that whole process took a number of years as well. After the whole, you know, dreaming with the polar bears kind of ended, which I would say took about a year and a half, it did take me a couple of years to write the book. I thought it was a little, you know, it was a little out there, and I played with the idea of making it fiction at first. So I went through my own process. And basically, I think it was a process of deepening and of being okay with it. And of I did feel the polar bears were there kind of supporting me and asking me to be bigger in my consciousness and stronger, you know, because I tend to be a little on the timid side, I think. And so I did feel a lot of polar bear energy there supporting me and really wanting this to be something that was shared with other people. And so in order to do that, I really did need to tap into a more, you know, genuine part of myself that was okay with this. So that process took time. It just took time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then at a certain point, the writing of the book was actually pretty quick, because I think I had simmered all that material for so long, and it was just ready to be written, and it flowed out. So, and then the last part of the book, which is part three, there's three parts to the book. The last part was basically during the writing of the book, other things happened. So it all kind of connected. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to explain because there's a lot of back and forth in the book and a lot of cross-referencing.
Right.
And I think that speaks to the nature of dreams. You know, sometimes we have a dream and mm-hmm. we'll go back in time, we'll go to alternate universes. We, you know, we travel in our dreams in very different ways than we travel in the waking world. And so much of this book is about that dream world and making connections in that way. And so part of my job was translating that idea onto you know, into a way that our waking world consciousness could understand.
Mm. So, you know, at the very beginning of this question, you said that in your dream you had an invitation, an opening from the professor.
Right.
So how would you explain that to people listening to you? As far as, I guess when I think of it, I just feel like maybe it's sort of like intuition, and, you know, how many times we just push that aside. You know, what made you really like have this knowing to accept that as an invitation and to go further with that? Does that make any sense, that question that I'm,
yeah,
understand what I'm trying
to ask?
I
know exactly what you're saying. Yes. Yes. And my answer to that is, you know, I should preface this just by saying I have been involved with a lot of dream work for a long time. I've loved dreams ever since I was, you know, a teenager. I've worked in my dreams. I've written dream journals. So for me, I do probably have I take the dream world very seriously, and I really like cultivating a relationship with my dream guides, with my dream self, with dreams. You know, I always am writing them down and then kind of playing with them and looking at clues, looking at symbols. So the idea of an invitation from the dream wasn't necessarily that new to me. I had other invitations and dreams before, and they were sort of intuitive, you know, nudges, I guess, and they were presenting possibilities. You know, do you want to take this path? Do you want to do that? And when I did have this wonderful dream about being in an airplane with this dream professor, he was an old kind of, you know, European-looking man. He was just very sweet and very wise. And when he offered me that invitation, there was a lot of feeling there. I understood on waking and also in the dream that this was something important, and that because I had remembered something in that particular dream, the professor was able to give it to me. So there was a little bit of a test involved. And, you know, by passing that test and by being offered the invitation, I really had a choice whether to follow this or not. I didn't feel like there was a right or wrong to it. It was just, do you want to do this? And I did. I just, you know, it took me a day or two, I'll say, to kind of accept that. But once I did, then everything unfolded according to that path. So it was a conscious choice.
A day or two is nothing, really. I mean, I think about little nudges that I have that years later is still nudging me. And then I finally say, okay, I guess I'm supposed to pay attention. That you've been, you know, in this, you know, understanding dreaming and for a long time. So that probably makes a little more sense for you.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fascinating process. Wow. So in your book, you talk about lucid dreaming, and I just was wondering if you can just explain a little bit exactly what lucid dreaming is.
Sure. Lucid dreaming is that experience you have when you're dreaming that you suddenly become aware, oh, I'm dreaming. You know, it's basically means being awake in the dream state. So you're consciously aware that you are dreaming. And, you know, I think, I don't know how many people have had that experience. I think quite a few have, actually. And it's wonderful. You know, some people get scared and kind of freak out. For me, it's always this kind of magical state. And when I was younger, one of my favorite things to do, I would always want to fly in my dreams. So whenever I became lucid, I was like, oh, I want to fly. And and I would get to fly over cities or over the street. And I also would say if people, you know, do have lucid dreams, one thing you might also do, which I started to do later in life, is to ask to speak to your dream guide. And that's a really fascinating process of who shows up and, you know, and what they're kind of wearing and look like. And I've had dream guides be, you know, very young. I've had some dream guides show up as animals and some show up as really wise people. And I think that's a really fun way of, fun and educational way of learning more about the dream state and learning more about linking the dream state to conscious awareness, which is something that I was really interested in.
Wow. And just look how it's opened your world, right?
I mean,
your world is so much more fascinating because you're open to this process. Wow, that's really fascinating to me. That's why I love your book so much.
Thank you.
Can you share with us the many dreams that you had talking with Polar Bear Council? And in your book, you write about how in the mornings you would record what your dreams were. And then when it came to writing your book, you also described what it felt like, or perhaps your process, I guess you could say, of tuning into sharing more of what Polar Bear wants for all of us to know. So right. What I mean by that is, like during the actual process of writing the book, you mentioned in there what it, how I took it was that polar bear would actually sometimes show up while you were at your computer writing. They would show up again as if they were channeling messages to you. And I'm just really fascinated and curious, and I think my listeners will be too. You know, what is that like? What does that feel like? And, you know, how does that actually happen?
Right, right. No, that's a really good question. And so I'll preface this again just by mentioning I have worked with dreams for a long time. And so that process of connecting with dreams and remembering dreams and recording them was something that I had to draw on. It was a nice foundation for me. In addition, I also have a background of, as you introduced me, you know, with animal communication, with connecting with animals. And so a lot of my day work, or well, not a lot, but some of my day work, so to speak, is talking with humans who want to connect with their animals. So basically, I serve as a translator, and I'm connecting with the energy of that individual's animal and then translating their thoughts, feelings, perceptions, et cetera, to the human. So that was also a foundation for me. So then to come to your question, how does that work? And, you know, sometimes in dreams, I remember in the very beginning dreams when I would talk with the council and they would give me all this detailed information. And I remember in one dream in particular going, oh, I don't know if I can remember this. You know, I started to get very anxious in the dream, like, how am I going to remember this? And they were very patient and said, don't worry, we'll come to you, you know. So in the morning, this is how the process works for me, is I would, you know, come down to my computer right away, write about the dream, and then kind of re-engage the energy of polar bear. And oftentimes they would, I don't want to say channel, but it's like that. It's like their energy would just come through me, and they would share the particulars, the details of what they really wanted to say. And it was similar to an animal communication session when I'm kind of translating those animal thoughts or perceptions. This was more working with a group, but the process is the same. You're getting those thoughts, perceptions, ideas, and you're allowing it to flow through you, through your mind, onto your, you know, onto the computer. And then you end up with a really nice little, you know, document of exactly kind of what you wanted to say.
Wow, that made it much clearer for me, just the way you described that.
Well, good.
No, yeah, and I think it's really interesting, you know, as you were talking on how that happens when you were in the dream and you're hoping you're going to remember that. What I really liked about that, with anything in life, the first word that came into my head was trust, like trusting the process. Mm-hmm. Trusting that this is going to come back to you and that there's a reason for it and you are real, you know, willing to move with that and to keep following that dream and to share that and, you know, and ultimately to write the book. So, trusting that.
Well, and that's true in life. I'm sorry. That is true in life, isn't it? Because when you get so obsessed about trying to remember something, your whole body tightens up, you know, when you become anxious and you only maybe remember a sentence or two, whereas if you let go and you just, you know, you're right, it's about trust. It's about having trust in that process, and you allow it to flow. So I think that's just a good thing for life in general, is allowing it to flow and not getting so, you know, caught up and trying to hold on really tight. Yeah.
So, it's a great example for really anything we're trying to, you know, process in life is to just trust.
Right. Right.
So that's a great example. So I really fell in love with Bering Strait, the bear that you talked a lot with. And so I want you to talk a little bit about him. But I was really fascinated by the fact that at one point in the book, when you went to meet with him, he actually had a polar bear suit for you to wear, so that you could actually become like a polar bear and that you could actually feel how it was to move about as a polar bear. So I'd really like you to share with us what that felt like and what was one of your greatest teachings from that.
Oh, my goodness. That's like four questions all in one, isn't it?
I know. I'm sorry. I get so excited. Yeah, I just told you I had so much questions for you.
Okay, so to begin, Bering Strait was one particular polar bear who offered that name kind of as an identity, as a personal guide, if you will, within the dream world. Well, let me skip to your main question here, as I think of it is. So we had a lot of dream experiences. And I would say, too, to your listeners, this was about dream sharing, about being oftentimes conscious and lucid in the dream and aware that he was also conscious and lucid in the dream. So kind of the backbone of this whole book is the idea that humans and polar bears at one point in time worked together consciously in the dream state. And the polar bears kind of encouraging us and supporting us to get back to that state, not only with polar bears, although polar bears are do have a special medicine in terms of conscious dreaming, but other species too can dream with us. And so this type of relationship can happen with other species as well. Anyway, the particular dream that you were referring to, it was one of my favorite dreams because it started out very kind of fanciful, where I'm at a little, almost a fete, a country type of party in the evening. And there's, it's down by a lake and there's mountains and it's an evening time and there's white globes that are lit. And it's just very beautiful and festive. And there's a curious blending. And this should have been my clue in the beginning of the dream, a curious blending of humans and polar bears. And the polar bears are wearing human outfits. And the humans tend to have like white fur or white hair or very downy white fur on them, you know. So there's this wonderful blending between humans and polar bears. And I go to a little stand and there's a teenage girl there, a polar bear girl, who offers me this polar bear suit to try on. And I'm thinking, that's too silly. You know, I'm kind of in my serious self and I don't really want to do it. But they encouraged me to. And I put on this furry outfit, which at first looks like maybe it's from Walmart, you know, really, really hokey and cheesy. But as I put it on, I realized, wow, the fur is really real. It's amazing. And there's claws and it's so, it's actually really well made, you know, and then they have this bobblehead. And again, I go into my disbelief and not wanting to put this on, this bobblehead, polar bear head, but I do. And when I do, something really interesting happens. The whole outfit starts to kind of compress, and I feel my muscles and my body start to expand. So there's a meeting there. I'm expanding, and the suit is compressing, and I start to become a polar bear. And I remember in the dream specifically what happened was my first thing, you know, I was amazed at that intellectually or with my thoughts, but then experientially, feeling-wise, I suddenly kind of went to all fours, and I remember feeling I'm a polar bear, you know, and I could feel with my paws underneath the ground. And they had referenced this before, how polar bears are able to feel a little bit beneath the ground. And actually, many animals are. They have, you know, feelings that we're just, we don't think of it in our terms. Our feelings are limited to our, you know, the surface of our skin, but they can actually feel energetically beneath the earth and can sense in different ways. And so, in other words, my point is I was sensing in different ways than my human body was used to, and it was incredibly fascinating. And then the polar bear named Bering Strait began to run, and it was, I realized why animals run like that. It is kind of an instinctual thing. I just took off with a run because he was running. It was like, you know, an engaged thing, and I began running, and we jumped into the water, and the dream unfolded from there. But it really was, you ask what was the lesson from that. It was experiential. It was getting what it's like through my dream body, my dream physical dream body, to experience the world as a polar bear. And it's fascinating.
Wow.
It's when you have that experiential thing, it's different than imagining it or knowing it. It's an actual experiencing with the senses. And granted, I was dreaming, but it did change things for me. It did change the way I saw things and thought about other animals. And, yeah, it had a profound effect.
Wow. I've just been sitting here smiling really big the whole time you were describing that, because I would love to experience what you went through. And I love how you said, how you felt when you got into the polar bear suit and it compressed but yet expanded, and how you related to that, how you were expanding consciously and probably not unconsciously, but consciously, being one with polar bear and your human self. That's so, that's so fascinating. I mean, how can people not be fascinated by this? It's just amazing stuff. Wow. So at the time that I was at times reading your book and your experiences communicating with Polar Bear, you know, there were a lot of times, and I'm going to say this with this word, like maybe there's a better word for it, but I was wishing that I had been chosen, you know, to maybe have these dreams and hear these messages. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering how we humans can be better at not only tuning into maybe polar bear wisdom, but other animal teachings too. And do we really all have this ability? You know, how do we go about doing that?
Right. Well, you know, Barb, you hosted a class that I did in Plymouth, Wisconsin, and one of the things we talked about, and this is one of the things I teach whenever I do classes, is that a lot of animal communication, I think, comes from really learning how to communicate with ourselves. So it starts with being able to quiet down our thoughts and coming from that centered place from within, that authentic place. And maybe we desire relationship with an animal group. I think it always begins with who we are, you know, who we are in the moment. So I don't know that there's any one answer for everybody. I think it has to do with cultivating a really good relationship with yourself, with your dream self, and being open to how it unfolds for you. You know, even with animal communication, people get things in different ways. Some people get sentences and words. That's how I am, because I think I focus on words a lot. Other people get visuals. They'll almost see a little scene unfolding with an animal, or they might see through its eyes. Other people will sense things. They're very kinesthetic. So, you know, what I would say is appreciate who you are and your own unique gifts. Not just you meaning one, everybody, appreciating who we are and our own unique gifts and being open to the way that these things happen for us. Huh? And everybody is called in different ways. So I just think that's another key learning for humans. You know, again, we tend to be diverted and, you know, wanting these different things out there. And really, we have everything we need. It's just a matter of being okay with who we are, huh? I mean, that's a huge, I'm sighing as I say it, because it's such, once you finally give up that burden of trying to be perfect, trying to be this, trying to be that, and you accept who you are and you begin to love that, I don't want to sound too cheesy New Age here, but that's really what it is.
No, I absolutely agree. So, yep.
Yeah. And then you find that space within yourself that's open to everything else. So, that's something that, in general, many animals and animal groups have told me, is that, you know what, a lot of what animal communication is helping humans to learn to communicate with themselves.
Right. I mean, that's one of the biggest lessons I've gotten, I would say, in most recent years, you know, as I've deepened in my understanding of animals, is really, you know, We're so compassionate towards animals. A lot of people are so compassionate towards animals and trying to help them and do the best that we can for them. But on the other side of that teaching, what animals are trying to teach us is to not only be compassionate toward them, which we seem to already know, but to be compassionate to ourselves and to our fellow human beings. That's what they're trying to teach us.
Yeah. I think that's very key. Yeah.
And I love what you said about stillness, because I think, you know, we are, and I'm learning that too, is we're, you know, we're always so busy that we never sit still enough to even open ourselves to these teachings of animals and, you know, to start trusting our intuition. And I don't know if it's just the world that I'm in, because this is fascinating me more and more every day, and I'm really trying to be open, not trying to, I want to be open to all of this. But I'm finding that when you are in stillness, more often, that's really all you need. You don't need all this other stuff. So that might have been a little off base from your book, but I think it all kind of works together. And I think it's really why you came to writing Dreaming with the Polar Bears, because of all your experience before this, which involves all that. So.
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely a book I couldn't have written 5-10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. It all evolves.
Yeah.
It does for everybody, you know. We all evolve, so.
So I can imagine, though, it hasn't always been easy to write about these communications, just like we just touched on there, for fear of what others may think. And Did you ever worry about that, or do you worry about that anymore? And if so, how did you handle that? How have you moved forward with that?
Well, I think part of the initial block for me was thinking, is this too weird? is this too weird for people to hear? And I think my answer is what I said a little while ago, that I just had to get comfortable with that with myself. And I think once you're comfortable with it with yourself, it really doesn't matter what other people think. And I don't mean that in a callous way, what others think.
Right.
Because sometimes I do, but if I'm comfortable with it, then I know, hey, this will resonate with some people, and it won't resonate with others, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's really where I come from. It's just, it's okay, I don't usually lead at a party telling people I'm an animal communicator. I lead in a very gentle way and, say I write about connecting with animals, and then if they're interested, they'll ask. And if not, then it's okay for them, It's
right.
We can relate in different ways. So, yeah, I don't hide what I do, but at the other time, I guess I'm just not really a boastful person. I'm not good at marketing, really, as you know.
Yeah, well, I don't even like the word marketing. And, my belief is really if you're passionate about something, that's just going to come through organically. Again, those words you hear all the time, organically and authentically, but it's true. I mean, if you're passionate and this is what you love and you believe in, you're not marketing yourself. You're just sharing your passion if someone's interested. And if they're not, that's okay too. I mean,
okay.
I guess as somebody who's written a book, I understand that. I understand and had to prepare myself for that as well, that not everybody's going to want to read my book. Not everybody's going to agree with me, and that's okay. That's perfectly fine.
Okay.
But whose world am I going to open up by sharing my thoughts? And just like you, you opened my world in another way by reading Dreaming with Polar Bears. I can't say I would have read a book like this 10 years ago, but I'm so thankful I have it now because I find it really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. And my comment on that is, I think things come to us as we open to them. And we each have a unique path. And
yes.
And we honor that, honor what comes to you. And if it fits, that's great. And if not, maybe it'll fit 5-10 years later, and if not, that's fine too,
Right.
So
I want to read
I
just want to read a small portion in your book. I feel like Oprah. I do. I thought, I want to read a small, I love it when she interviews people and she does it. And I thought, well, I'm going to be Oprah today.
Oh,
and
good.
there is a passage in your book on page 127 that I just want to share with everybody. Because I was really touched by it, and it was one of the many messages that you got from polar bears. So this was one of them that I'm going to read. There is so much that humans are not aware of. All animals hold an energetic task of healing or awakening, a specialized medicine for others upon the earth. Without that species, there is necessary change and mutation. Without polar bears, you are sunk in a big way. Polar bears are big beings who offer big dreaming to all the world, especially to humanity at this time. What we offer is a slowing down, a deepening, a clearer vision of where you are in your own evolution. Perhaps you are so fearful of who you have become that you do not wish to see, and so you jump into endless diversions. Mm-hmm. We offer you a larger way of seeing your true being and an entreaty to embrace what that being as you accept the fullness of who you really are. We are the Polar Bear Council, and we offer you our paw in collective dreaming so that you may open yourself on wider levels to the majesty of what we, all creatures of the earth and beyond, have created. We welcome you to the party. I love that portion of the book. There's so much welcoming in it. There's so much wisdom in it. And then I love the playful part of it, too, of welcome to the party and don't take life so seriously either.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly how I experience the polar bear energy, is they are very big, very powerful beings. They can be very serious, but they can also be just incredibly playful and curious and definitely welcoming in the sense of being supporting. And really want it, they're on our side. They really want us to succeed. I mean, I think most all animals do. They want us to succeed. And they want us to come back to the party and to the you know, the universal language, and to open that and accept that. And they're a definitely unique energy, and I loved working with them too. It was such a pleasure.
And I don't know if it's because I know you, you know, I've gotten to know you the last couple of years, but I could just feel that. I mean, I feel like you're part polar bear. I do, just from reading your book. And it just, I don't know, and just seeing some of your posts on Facebook, I just feel like that. I just feel like you really understand polar bear, and that's what's helped me to look at them in a new way and really appreciate them. I wanted to also, I have two more questions for you. One of them, in one part in your book, you mentioned that at one point you felt this really weighty responsibility to try and relate to humans the teachings of polar bear. So I'm just wondering if you can just expand on that a little bit and tell us how you feel about that today, especially after writing the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, after writing the book, I feel very good about it. But that was true. I mean, and I'm glad I included that in the book, because there were days when I just was seized up kind of with the responsibility. Because on the one hand, it was a pleasure to connect with these things. But on the other hand, I really did feel a very, keen responsibility to translate their words and to convey their message as clearly as I could. So I felt like sometimes I was being, not really tested, but, you know, challenged to be very clear and very open. And I did feel the polar bears were supporting me in that endeavor, but still I doubted myself. So that's a human thing. And I had to deal with that in my own way. But I did feel, especially near the end of the book, writing it, I said something at one point about thanking the polar bears for helping my words sing with the song of polar bear. And that's really what it was like. At a certain point, I just felt them flowing through me. And, you know, it was so much fun. And it's you're in sync then. You know you're connected. And it's not hard anymore. It's effortless. And it flows through you. And that's very joyful indeed.
Oh, that's lovely. I love it. That is so lovely. So my last question for you is, if you had to choose, what one thing would you want readers to take away from reading Dreaming with Polar Bears?
Well, I would be in alliance with the polar bears on that, but I think the one thing that they most want to convey is to encourage humans to wake up. And by that, I think they mean, and I mean, to be, it's sort of what we touched on before, to be comfortable with who you are. I think that's the way we wake up, is we stop all this endless diversion on things and trying to be like others and trying to be like, you know, whoever is hot in the media, whatever the projection is, you know. It's really coming home is what waking up is. It's coming home to ourselves. It's waking up to who we are. And by doing that, we begin to shine the brilliance of who we are onto the world. Everybody wins. When you're in that position, everybody wins. You know, we all get to be who we are. We are our own gift. And it becomes an incredible world. You know, we don't have war when that happens. When that happens, everybody is shining, and we're doing what we need to do.
Yeah. I so believe that. I do. And I really, I get that message from animals. I really do. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm really glad that you shared that. Oh, my gosh, this was wonderful. I could talk to you all afternoon about this, as you know. but in closing, is there any last thing you'd like to share with our listeners?
No. I think you asked some wonderful questions, Barb. And, you know, I hope that parting message is just, you know, resonates with people, and that you, whoever you are listening, you know, will accept that challenge to really be who you are and to trust yourself. And to shine your brilliance.
I think that's a great message. That's a great message to accept yourself for who you are. That's the best message, I think, and would solve a lot of problems in our world. I totally agree with you on that. So where can people purchase not only Dreaming with Polar Bear, but your other books? Are you on Amazon as well as your website?
My books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can go to my website, which is animalvoices.net. And my publisher is Inner Traditions. You can look them up and order from them directly.
Okay.
Yeah. you know, everybody
think,
knows how to
use
the internet.
I would encourage everybody to sign up for your newsletter. That's one of my get in my inbox.
Thank you.
I love getting your newsletter. It always makes me smile, and if I'm having a bad day, I know I can open your newsletter and listen to the animals. I feel much better. So thanks so much, Dawn, for being here today and for talking about your new book. And I really want to encourage everybody out there to really go out and get yourself a copy and get lost in the pages and really, you know, open yourself to what polar bears have to teach us. So thanks so much, Dawn.
Thank you, Barb.
Bye for now.